Happy holidays, fellow Mojo. I'm so glad you joined me for this final episode of season one of Mojo Girl Madness. And before you get your knickers in a bunch, I'm saying happy holidays, not because I want to cancel Christmas, but because I have friends and colleagues who celebrate other holidays this time of year. And happy holidays is an all-encompassing greeting. It's kind, it's accurate, and it's a greeting. So to those who find offense in this, kindly fuck off. I know you don't, but others do, and it's gotten ridiculous. No one is trying to cancel Christmas. That's just a statement used by the right-wing talking heads and idiot GOP politicians to try to rile people up. Why do people buy into it? If someone looks sideways at us for saying happy holidays, what do? We laugh at them and then say, except for you, now kindly fuck off. How's that for a start to my final episode of the season? Before I get into the various topics of this episode, I actually am going to start off with a little rant. I hadn't intended to, but hey, you know me. I mean, you really do know me at this point. I am so fucking sick of everyone being so fucking outraged over everything and not actually even thinking it through, not realizing their dramatic outrage usually diminishes their cause or concern. Levels, people. It's like because of the insanity of the last 4+ years, we're so used to being rightly outraged by all the awful things done by this disgusting excuse for a president and Mitch McConnell, who I truly believe is the worst of the worst, and all their cult members, that we need the anger to feel normal. There's been so much deafening noise. We don't know what it's like to feel calm anymore. Damn them. We're now screaming about how everything doesn't fit our perfect picture, that our choices are the only choices, and there's never a reason for anything else, our way or the highway. But it's certainly not all outrage on the left. The fucking cult members on the right love to anger their easily led base into actually believing Democrats want to do something like cancel Christmas. Do GOP voters not know how to use their brains? Don't answer that. I mean, they honestly have few things to scream about that actually make any sense at all. It's all fake social issues their cult leaders have conjured to rile them up. And they are so fucking gullible. I mean, don't get me started on the absolute lunacy of QAnon. Really? Have they lost their minds? Again, don't answer that. Fucking stupid people. It is so tiring seeing every common sense request, desire, or policy by anyone who bases their knowledge in fact, in science, looked at as some ploy. I mean, what the fuck, people? Outraged that they have to wear a little mask during a pandemic? Kindly fuck off. Outraged that they can't pack themselves into a bar, a church, a party during a pandemic? Kindly fuck off. I mean, do they have that same level of outreach for the seatbelt laws or the wear your helmet on a bike or on a motorcycle laws? No? Are you picking and choosing your freedoms? Kindly fuck off. Try some critical thinking for once. Step back. Look at what's happening. Seems like everyone is damned if they do, damned if they don't these days, no matter what the topic or statement or whatever. Way too many people seem to want to jump on the outrage bandwagon for every issue, like it gives them some sort of community or purpose or cause or moral authority or higher ground. It doesn't. Usually, it makes them look like angry, spoiled children who didn't get their way and really just want attention. And do those who are always so outraged even realize that those who truly oppose them are stoking their fires just to create the chaos and confusion, to sow the division that they're craving, and to even encourage violence and damage to our society as a whole? Don't these people see they're being used? Don't answer that. And on the opposite end of the political spectrum, the progressives, the liberals, the left, the center, the whole Democratic big tent, and we are a big tent, and we need to be. We need to stop attacking each other and come together on the higher ground of restoring democracy and decency to this country. Because the right, the GOP, has lost its collective mind. Don't get lost in the weeds, people. Be realistic and practical. Think critically. And know that because we are a big tent, that we encompass many views and many ways to achieve an end, and that we may not have all of our dreams met right now, yet. Democrats, wherever they are on the spectrum, cannot be outraged at every fucking thing. They have to stop it. They have to stop dividing their own party. If they don't, we will lose bigly in 2 and again in 4 years, which would be catastrophic for all of us and our country, dare I say the world. We would never recover. Think of the big picture. Stop killing your own, even if you're not in complete agreement at the moment. Remember that the progressive websites and talking heads are also trying to get us riled up for ratings, retweets, clicks, and likes, just like all the other outlets. Get your info from multiple varied sources in different genres, print, broadcast, podcast, and try not to feel the need to shout your personal outrage at every turn. It's not helping. Honestly, you know, no matter what outlet, which journalist, public figure, or politician from far left to far right and everything in between, they're all trying to get eyeballs and ratings or clicks and likes, thus getting them more advertisers, more income, more fame, which seems to be what it's all about these days. Look at me, I'm outraged, pay attention to me. Headlines these days are so outrageously sensationalized that they rarely even represent what the content of the article actually is. It's all bait. It's almost all outrage. And it's exhausting. But what is most infuriating is how many people take that bait and act like it's all a sport. We have to win. Not thinking about whether or not their outrage is even really about something that outrageous, or if it may make sense in another context, that there may be reasons for the things they're outraged about that actually make sense, that maybe they don't have the full picture behind their rage and anger and indignation, that maybe they're being used. Just a thought. Slow your roll, people. Isn't everyone tired of being so angry all the time? Okay, that concludes my opening, rather ironic rant. Being outraged over outrage. Yep, and I know you know I'm not perfect at practicing what I preach, obviously. But I'm aware, and I try. Let's all do that. Pass it on. Happy holidays! So, this inaugural season of Mojo Girl Madness was super fun for me. And I hope for you too. I laughed, I cried, I vented, and I got incredibly vulnerable. I never would have thought I'd feel good about sharing so much of my life experience with you, but I did. I do. And I can't wait until next season. I've already lined up a couple of my favorite actresses to join me as guests on the pod, and a Hollywood historian, another showbiz colleague or two, and one of my USC grad students. I'll also be sharing a couple of more personal stories, chapters in my memoir. And finally, also going to do those 2 DNA kits, and I'll discuss the results on air with a special guest. And of course, there will always be many moments of madness. I was surprised and delighted, frankly, by which episodes this season were the most popular. It's hard to gauge final results as listens are still coming in for all of the episodes, but out of the gate, a few did way better than the others. Can you guess which ones? I'll give you the top 3 so far. And these 3 are actually all very close in numbers. Number 1, who the fuck is Mojo? The first episode. Makes sense, I guess. People want to know who the hell is telling them to nurture their mojo. Number 2, dun, 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 dun. The sex episode, of course. Yeah, that also makes sense, you sexy mojo you. Everybody always wants to hear sex talk, and that was actually a super fun episode with my friend, sexologist Wendy Miller. Number three surprised me a little bit. Crash course in getting your mojo back. This was one of my personal stories, so it made me happy to see that people were actually interested in that kind of an episode, me telling a story. And you know, the topic was divorce, so also a sexy topic. In fact, it was almost a tie between the sex episode and the divorce episode. And I kind of think that says more about you than me. But it's good for me to know that these tantalizing personal topics do so well. More of those next season, please. Whatever shall I tell you stories about next season? I'm always open to prompts. If you have any requests, let me know. Now, before I get to our mojo, New Year's resolutions, some listener mail, and of course, the mad quote of the season finale, I'd like to give a few quick thanks and throw you a couple of recommendations. First, thank you to Morgan McDougal Productions. I don't know if I could have done Mojo Girl Madness without Jackie McDougal and her company, certainly not as well, so I give my eternal thanks. I'd also like to thank my guest this season, the aforementioned Wendy Miller, host of the wildly successful podcast Sex Ed the Musical, the international woman of intrigue, Gina Osborne, host of Behind the Crime Scene, my fabulous BFF, Denise Dickey Weinert, the magical Nikita Starkey, who can vent about politics better than anybody I know, Elaine Williams and Ricky Day. Our conversation was so fun, we decided to make it a two-parter. And if you haven't listened to those two episodes, you're in for a real treat. And last week's episode, number 15, Marnie Batista, the dating and relationship guru. I'm excited to see how well that one does. There are also a couple of other podcasts where I've enjoyed being a guest myself. Ken Levine's Hollywood and Levine was a blast, and we had such a great conversation. He made it a two-parter. If you like showbiz stories, you need to check out Hollywood and Levine. Jackie McDougal's own podcast, 40 Thrive, where I got super vulnerable as I talked about my own mojo. It's such a good pod. I really think some of my lady friends would really like 40 Thrive and would benefit from it. Check it out. There's also Bruce Berman's new podcast called Call Time, which is all interviews with different professionals in showbiz, from studio teachers and craft service personnel to actors and directors. My episode on Call Time will post in the new year. I hope you like it. Finally, did you know that I'm a regular on another podcast? Or I will be starting on New Year's Eve when an entire episode is just my interview. I don't think I've told you this, but I'm thrilled to announce I will be the new expert consultant for Will and Jace, a Frasier podcast. This wonderful pod goes episode by episode through the entire run of Frasier, where you know I spent a decade of my life. My input will begin in the new year with trivia, cast and crew updates, and a variety of behind-the-scenes fun facts. Look for Will and Jace, a Frasier podcast, and follow it so you get all the new episodes. By the way, you could do a hell of a lot worse than binging Frasier during the pandemic. It's 11 seasons, about 22 episodes each, sometimes more, sometimes less, of smart, funny, timeless episodes that garnered more awards than you can count on 10 hands, including the Emmy for Best Comedy 5 years in a row. Anywho, thank you to all of the above. I love you all madly. Now, let's do some listener mail. And a big thank you to those who took the time to write or to post comments or questions. I truly love and appreciate those of you who wrote how certain episodes impacted you and all the wonderful compliments and kudos on the show. It meant a lot. Melissa wrote me a lovely email about her own struggles in life, specifically around relationships and vulnerability. Melissa, you're not alone. She ended her email with, "You're like a friend that I could listen to forever." Melissa, your email meant so much to me. Let's just consider ourselves friends, shall we? An old showbiz colleague who I haven't seen in years wrote and said, "I listened to your Who the Fuck Do They Think They Are episode, and it really resonated with me. I did what you said at the end and reached out to a few people. I feel like I really will keep your words in mind." Thanks for that, Emily. I love knowing that anything said on the pod is useful or made a difference. It means a lot. And probably to all those friends you reached out to, means a lot too. One of my USC grad students wrote early on that she also used to be a diehard Republican, like me, and that changing her voter registration also proved to be a visceral experience, more so when she told her parents, and that it felt like a trial run for her coming out to them. But she did it. And this girl has mojo to spare now. You know why? Because she focused on being authentic and wasn't afraid to be vulnerable. Fight through those fears, fellow mojo, and just go for it, whatever it may be in the moment. As for questions, I got a few, some personal, some not. One that popped up a couple of times, and this is the only one I'm going to focus on right now, is how do you define mojo? I think one's mojo is very personal. How that word is defined by others, for them, may be slightly different than how I define it for myself. I would use the following three words to describe my own mojo. Confident, because one must feel comfortable in their own skin. Fearless, because obstacles and excuses are for other people. It's always better to power through and just do it, whatever it is. And if it works, great. If not, you learned from it and you can move on. No more wondering. You know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. You gotta be a little fearless in life. You just gotta. Stop with the excuses. Finally, peaceful. Because when you slow down and are in the moment, being true to yourself, being thoughtful about every choice, you can't help but have an inner peace, which gives you confidence and enables you to be fearless. So my three words are confident, fearless, and peaceful. I could come up with an alternate or a longer list, but for now, those three words encapsulate my best mojo days. What are your three words? Ooh, send them to me. Let's compile a list. I'll share it. But I think what's equally important to the definition of our mojo is how we get it. How do you find that confidence, that fearlessness and peace? Your self-love, your self-worth. How do you become happy with yourself? I can't answer that for you, but for me, it takes a bit of work and constant reminders to myself to remember my personal power, among other things. I have different levels of mojo on different days, sometimes depending upon whether or not I got a good night's sleep. I try not to let my mojo be dependent upon whether or not I'm having a good hair day, but you know, I'm still a girl. What we all need to do is identify what strengthens our mojo, and we have to nurture those things, like taking care of yourself physically and remembering to pamper yourself because you're worth it. You are. Take that you time and set boundaries so no one can infringe upon it. It's too valuable. Think about time for meditation, sleep, good nutrition, exercise, not drinking too much. Get the occasional massage. Take yourself on a date. Do something that makes you happy. Being true to yourself in all you do is so important. Evaluate your relationships, your associations, memberships, etc. Are they really reflective of who you are, who you'd like to be? Do you maybe need to place some limits, make different choices? When we're true to ourselves and authentic, we automatically gain confidence and thus mojo. Really think about what or who you're dependent upon. The more we are in charge of our own emotions, our needs, livelihoods, schedule, etc., the more empowered we will feel. Is there an area of your life where you need to take back control and be true to yourself? As we move into the new year, let's take the opportunity to reflect. If the pandemic has taught us anything, it's that life is both fragile and short. Believe me, it feels like yesterday I was in my 20s. Then I blinked and here I fucking am. It all goes so fast, and most don't realize that until the years have gone by. Don't let that happen. You don't get those years back. Let's make a few resolutions, shall we? Here are mine for the new year. although some are a continuation of those from years past and, frankly, evergreen. Like, I always make the resolution to take good care of myself. Doing this may mean you need to set a few boundaries, like saying, I'm sorry, I'm always busy on, say, Thursdays or Thursday afternoons. And then don't ever make plans during that time. Make it you time. Do something for yourself, even if it's just chill and read a book. And know that others always want to push our boundaries. I think some people find pleasure in bending you to their will, getting you to make them the exception, to make themselves feel special, like they've won some battle. Just say no. Be strong. You are more important than anything else, and you owe no one an explanation for you time. Keep your appointment with yourself, and don't be late. By the way, when you make changes in your life that are good for you, that may mean a few others will get their feathers ruffled. But be vigilant. They can adjust or they can fuck off. You must make yourself a priority sometimes, and others need to respect that. If they don't, maybe those are relationships you need to reconsider or at least place some strict boundaries around. Let's all make the resolution to be more positive, to not be as outraged at every headline or post that we see. Pick your battles. Let others fight the rest. Let's try to focus on the good, not the bad. Let's be kind, considerate, thoughtful, and most of all, grateful. There's always something to be grateful for. And let's get rid of those self-imposed obstacles. Enough of the, I can't because I'll be happy when, and all the I'm not worthy bullshit we tell ourselves. And that's exactly what all of that is, bullshit, and you know it. No more excuses and fake obstacles. Just do it, whatever it is. Ask for help if you need to. Just get that forward momentum going. Pull that proverbial trigger. No more waiting to be happy. Happiness is where you find it, and you can find it everywhere. You just need to open your eyes. Not seeing it? Go take a walk. Look at the sky, the birds, the trees, the people walking their dogs, the people being respectful and wearing masks. And this is important. Smile while you're walking. Even if no one can see your wonderful smile under your mask, smile. Flex those smile muscles as often as you can. They'll be telling your brain to be happy. Maybe it's good you'll be wearing a mask so you can smile really big and no one will think you're a crazy person. Smile. You'll come home happier than when you left, I promise. Don't feel like going out? Sit in front of a window and smile. Look outside for a while. There's always blue sky up there. Always, my friend. Even if it's under some clouds at the moment. Oh, and damn straight you're worthy. Who told you that you weren't? Fuck them. Oh, wait, that's what you tell yourself? Well, first, you're wrong. Second, stop that. Just stop all that self-deprecation, which is so detrimental to your well-being. You say that shit to yourself often enough, and your psyche starts to believe it. Don't lie to yourself. Who are you not to be worthy? Okay. This is going to sound crazy, but I'm going to tell you a little story about when I was at my lowest point and one of the things I would do to help build my mojo up. A few years ago, I had the trifecta of misery. I had health issues that required radical surgery. I had a job I had really grown to dislike. And I'd discovered my husband of just a couple of years had been, and still was, a lying cheat. Health, job, marriage, all shit. And thus my psyche told me, I must be shit to have all this stuff happening. I felt awful about myself. I didn't feel like a woman anymore, and I was completely stressed out. I also didn't share with many people what I was going through. I was embarrassed, and I couldn't see that being vulnerable might have actually helped me find much-needed support. I felt pretty alone. I had to conjure up my own self-love. What could be harder? So, among other things, like taking better care of my body once it healed, exploring other career options, and seeking counseling for the marriage, I started a little routine on the way to my office in downtown Los Angeles. First, rather than enduring the stress of rush hour traffic in and out of the city, I started taking the metro. I became the ultimate people watcher, observing my fellow Angelenos as they were also going to and from work, or school, or play, or those who were on the subway because they had nowhere else to go. Observing others gave me such perspective on my life, on my problems, and often on my privilege. It helped me feel grateful more often than not. Second, and here's the little, some may say, silly thing I did to further nurture and build my mojo. About halfway into my ride to the city, I did an alphabet meditation. I made this up for myself, but there's no reason why you can't use it. It really does sound silly, but it fucking worked for me. It only takes a couple of minutes, and you can do it anywhere. It helped me rewire my brain from negativity to positivity about myself. Here's how to do my alphabet meditation, which, again, I did while sitting on the subway, and it took only a few minutes, but you can do it anywhere. I would close my eyes. Then I would go letter by letter in the alphabet in my head, saying one mojo building word for each letter to describe myself to me. The words I used might describe me as I already am, or more than likely, how I would be if I had amazing mojo. And sometimes they were just words that, you know, made me feel good. Here, I'll do it for you once so you get the idea. And I'm not reading this. I'm doing it spontaneously, right now, in the moment, A to Z. Okay. Amazing, beautiful, creative, delightful, energetic, funny, gregarious, happy, insightful, joyous, kind, loving, magnificent, nice, outstanding, pretty. Q is hard. I usually just said queenly. Radiant, spontaneous, terrific, unique, vivacious, wonderful. X, Y, and Z are difficult also, so I usually cheated and would say things like exciting, yowza, zowie, because those last two words kind of just sounded like happy words to me. So you get the idea. Sometimes I try to do my alphabet mojo words super fast just to see what words my brain would spit out spontaneously. Or I'd do it multiple times with different words each time. Or I'd stop at some letters and list multiple words for that letter before moving on. Anywho, that's my alphabet meditation. It really is a good self-pep talk that takes very little time. Think big on those words, aim high, and then let them sink in because you are awesome, beautiful, and capable, delectable, exciting, and fierce. I could go on, but I'll let you continue that for yourself. Gorgeous, hypnotic, intelligent, joyous. Okay, Mojo, how about we wrap up this season and this year with a good mad quote? Tell you what, since it's the season finale, I'll do two. I think these kind of go together. The first one is attributed to some guy named Jeff Moore. I don't know him. I found it online, but it's good. Quote, being yourself means shedding all the layers of looking good, wanting to be liked, being scared to stand out, and trying to be who you think people want you to be. Being yourself means being raw, naked, and vulnerable. How wonderful. Well said, Jeff. And I think those wise words go perfectly with this little life instruction from Allen Ginsberg. Follow your inner moonlight. Don't hide the madness. Nice. our inner moonlight magical, and our madness exciting. I miss you already, my friend. But I'll be back in the new year at some point, probably late January, early February. Until then, I wish you a very happy holiday season filled with good food, good drink, fun family and friends Zooms, and a renewed optimism for our country and for yourself. Let's all focus on being grateful as we move into 2021. And remember to be kind and considerate and helpful to others. They may really need it. Wear a mask. Don't gather just yet. Control yourself already. And support your local businesses as much as you can. And reach out to friends. So many people will be alone this year. This is a hard time of year to be alone. Even a text or email to say you're thinking of someone could make a huge difference. I got one just the other day. Jeff Pfefferly sent me a message, and I haven't heard from him in a while. I worked with him on Frasier, and he just said, "I'm checking in on you. Just wanted to say hi." How sweet is that? And it just kind of made my day. Thanks, Jeff. So don't discount the impact you could make by doing something really simple. We can get through these crazy times together. After we sign off, please make sure you've hit that follow, favorite, or subscribe button so your podcast app will show new episodes of Mojo Girl Madness when they appear in the new year. Until then, I'm always available via email at iammojogirl@gmail.com. That's iammojogirl@gmail.com. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for next season, if you want to recommend a guest, if you want to be a guest yourself, anything is possible via Zoom these days. And fellow Mojo, thank you again for just being you. Love you madly. Mojo Girl Madness is produced by Morgan McDougal Productions. Make sure to catch Jackie McDougal's awesome pod, 40 Thrive, wherever you get your podcasts.